book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. And while you're turning, if anybody else has a word on your heart, that'll be fine while you're turning, but you can be turning there. Those of you that have been here regularly, you know we've been preaching through verse by verse or section by section through the Epistle of Ephesians. And I think maybe even Wednesday night I had announced and even planned on being back in Ephesians this morning. But we've kind of stepped away from it several times. The Lord's put different thoughts on my heart and things like that. And I never want to be so trapped into a series or so caught up in a series or caught up in preaching verse by verse through a book that I get trapped, you know, and don't let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in preaching and things like that. And I think even Wednesday night I'd maybe announced and planned on, even been praying about stepping back to Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 5 up to this point, and there where he said to speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and had planned on and prayed about preaching a message out of that verse dealing with music this morning. But, of course, the closer we got to the service and the more I thought about it being Mother's Day and all these things, I already know, I mean, with the mothers that are here and everything, it would be like the unpardonable sin to not preach a message to mothers on Mother's Day, you know. And so, not really, but in all seriousness, I did kind of get the burden on my heart and the Lord was dealing with me about some things. And the Lord kind of put some thoughts in mind. I had been reading and studying through 1 and 2 Samuel here not long ago, and I remember reading through 1 Samuel chapter 1, and this has been probably a few months ago at that time when I was reading through it, and how even then it stuck out to me, it struck me, this young lady in this passage by the name of Hannah. And the Lord's kind of given us some thoughts regarding I guess kind of going right along with Mother's Day, and our hearts and our minds are already stirred in that direction. And so I just think it would please the Lord. It would be right. It'd be good for us to preach dealing with mothers this morning. And so if you find your place there at 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'll ask you to stand and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God as we read the words of God. And just know this morning that as we stand here and you hold that King James Bible, it is as real this morning as if God Himself were standing here saying it to us. Amen. These are the words of God, the preserved, inerrant, infallible words of God. Amen. And He said in 1 Samuel chapter 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim out of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. She said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning, and I thank you for letting us be in your house. Lord, we say truly, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are God, and beside thee there is none other. And Lord, had you never been good to us or shown us any favor, you'd still be God. Lord, we ought to be in hell this morning, and you'd be right and just in putting us there. Lord, as wicked as we are, but Lord, you've been good to us, and Lord, you have favored us, and you've blessed us. Lord, even this morning, Lord, as we've testified, and Lord, as our thoughts and our memories have been stirred concerning, Lord, the fact that you've blessed us with good mothers this morning. Lord, these are the heavenly blessings. Lord, these are the things that come from you, and Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you would help us now, Lord, as we've come to this time of preaching, Lord, as we look into your word. I pray that you would stir our hearts this morning. I pray that you would help to stir us by way of remembrance. And Lord, you would, Lord, kindle, Lord, love and affection towards you for all that you've done in our hearts regard to mothers. Lord, I pray for every mother that's here, Lord, every young lady, Lord, even every young lady maybe that is not even married, and every young lady here that maybe isn't even a mother yet. Lord, that you would stir their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would provoke them, Lord, to wisdom and the godliness in regards to being a mother. That, Lord, they would prepare themselves, and Lord, they would make themselves wise in the things of God. Lord, that they might be a mother that would bring you honor and glory, that would please you in these days. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we try to preach the Word of God. We not handle it deceitfully, but Lord, I'd say everything that you'd have me to say in the right spirit, and Lord, that it would please you. Help us, Lord, as we preach by faith, trusting you. I pray that you'd help your people to receive it by faith, and that you would change our hearts and our lives and do a work among us this morning. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, of course, we've read the entire chapter here just to get the full context of what's taking place here. I know I've already said it, but it kind of already struck me even months ago thinking about Hannah and the mother that she was. And all through the Bible, we see tremendous mothers. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus himself. And boy, what a godly young lady she must have been growing up. And we see other godly ladies and women throughout the Bible, throughout the Scriptures. And boy, the Lord really has stirred our hearts even this morning regarding mothers and it being Mother's Day, thinking back to our mothers, the things that they've taught us and the prayers that they prayed for us and the sacrifices and all the things that they did. And I think these days like this, days like Mother's Day and Father's Day and things like that, I think they're good. I think they're good for us. And I thank the Lord that we live in a nation that would promote this type of thing and that would have established. I know our societies get drifting further and further away from it, but I do thank the Lord that we live in a nation that at least at this time would still recognize and celebrate Mother's Day. And there may come a time pretty soon where they may throw this thing out. They may say, you know, it's offensive to people, you know, we don't recognize gender and all that weird stuff. But I thank the Lord that we're in a nation that would recognize and honor mothers because they're certainly from God. And these days are good, first of all, for recognition. The Bible talks about giving honor to whom honor is due. And boy, I tell you, we ought to honor our mother. No child here, whether you are young or old, ought to hate and despise your mother. She may not be the mother that she ought to be, and she may not be the mother you think she should be. And she may not be the mother that God ought to be, that God, you know, even thinks that she should be. But, you know, we ought to love and thank the Lord for our mothers because, again, you wouldn't be here without her. Amen. And I tell you, if you've got a mother here who is honorable and who has loved you, she may not even be godly, but if she's taken care of you and she's raised you and she's kept you alive and given you life, I tell you, that's something to thank the Lord for. Amen. Not every child, even in this city that we're living in, not even within walking distance of this church, probably has a mother that cares anything about them. I tell you, there's a generation that's grown up with parents and mothers that are strung out on dope and meth and running around with men in and out of the house all the time and don't care anything about their kids. And I tell you, for us to have a mother, to have someone in our life that would love us and care for us and raise us is a blessing. And I think we ought to recognize that. Amen. And I tell you, it'd be a sin against God for a man or a woman here to not love their mother and not be good to their mother. You know, that's what the Pharisees were doing over in the New Testament whenever they were, you know, giving all their things as a gift under the work of God and breaking that law and getting out of taking care of their parents. And those were suit and tie wearing preachers, and they were in a roundabout way by the tradition of men getting out of taking care of their parents. And Jesus called them out on it. He said, you're breaking the law by your tradition. And boy, it'd be wicked for somebody to not care about their parents and care about their mother. Amen. I tell you, she's rocked our screaming selves a night and changed our diapers and taken care of us and loved us. Amen. You need the devil beat out of you if you don't love your mother. Amen. And so these days are good for recognition, to recognize the blessings that we have in our mother's sacrifices. And they're good for reminiscing as well, to look back and think about, have our hearts and our minds and our consciences stirred over our mothers and all that they did for us, and to reminisce and think back through the years the blessing it was to have with our mothers, and to cause us to thank the Lord for all that He's done in our life before that. And they're good for reflection as well. For every woman that is here, young and old, that is a mother, it's good to spend some time reflecting and thinking back about the days of when your children were small and you were raising your children. And it's good to reflect and look back at the things that you did right. And it's good to reflect, look back at the things that you did wrong and receive those things and be honest about those things and ask the Lord to help you to make you a better mother. Even if your children are grown and gone, you've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren, God is not done making you a better mother. Amen? And so it's good for reflection. It's good for you young ladies that aren't even married yet or you that don't have children yet to reflect and look at your life and see if you're preparing yourself and getting yourself ready in the way God would have you to be the mother that God wants you to be. That's the most important thing in your life, by the way, is being the wife and the mother that God would have you be. That's the first and greatest and highest calling of a young lady. It's just to be the wife and the mother that God would have them to be. And so they're good for reflection. Days like these are good for recharge as well. for us to get recharged, for you mothers to get recharged about being the mother that God would have you to be, that you can go on with courage and strength and get all the things that you've tried to do and tried to be faithful to, get those things reinforced and fortified and move on with new enthusiasm and move forward with new zeal. Watching both Hannahs this morning up in the choir with them youngins, them little boys, rowdy and jumping around and moving around, and you know, they're trying to sing and constantly, you know, Hannah's got one and Judah in her arms and Gideon's goofing off over here, and then Sister Hannah Jackson's over here trying to straighten out Elijah constantly, you know, and all those things. And boy, we notice that, but that blesses my heart, amen. I say praise God to have these little children in here. But listen, for young mothers and for really any mother, when you've got children and you're constantly having to correct and you're constantly, you know, try to be the mother God have you to be, you can get weary in that. You can get worn out with that. The devil will get on your shoulder and make you young ladies, you young mothers that have young children in the church service, and you're constantly having to correct them and constantly having to keep them quiet and constantly having to get them, you know, keep them sitting up straight. The devil will get on your shoulder telling you that it's no use and it's no good. They're not getting anything anyways. There's no sense in bringing them. You're just disrupting the service. But I want you to know that is just the devil. It's a lie of the devil. And no one, your children, our children, are not disrupting the service. We want them here. We need them here. And we need good, godly mothers to keep them here. Like Brother Ernest said, to get a backbone like a saw log and just keep on moving forward for the glory of God. Amen. If you're doing what you're doing by faith and trying to please and trying to do right and trying to live by the Word, I say just keep on moving forward. Amen. And I know the society is so contrary to godly motherhood and is so against godly motherhood and all these things. Matter of fact, what I'm going to preach this morning, most of what I'll preach this morning would be very controversial out in the world. I mean, just out in the world, it'd be very controversial. People would be offended and triggered by what we're going to say this morning and preach this morning. But I say, for the glory of God, get recharged. Know that you're doing right. Know that you're pleasing God, and just keep on moving forward. Amen. Amen. And so days like these are good for those things. Now, as we look into the Scriptures, I won't be long this morning. I just want to give you some thoughts out of this chapter. And as we look at the Scriptures, we look at Hannah, there's so much that could be preached and could be said throughout this whole chapter, and even on Hannah and through motherhood all through the Scriptures and other ladies. But as we look at this one particular lady here by the name of Hannah, she is a woman with a particular burden. And the burden that she carried was that she was barren. She had no children. And throughout the chapter we see where she's crying out to God. I mean, she is broken and she is heartbroken and she's embarrassed, no doubt, and all those things. And even tormented by the fact that she does not have children. And she so desires a child from the Lord. Specifically, she prays a child from the Lord. And she just so desires to have a child. But she has this burden that she is bearing. But what we see in her life, even though she has this burden, that she was an extremely wise woman. And being a wise woman, it caused her to be a wise mother. And that's why I tell you young ladies, those that don't have children yet, you need to be preparing now, making yourself wise, not in the ways of the world. Make yourself wise in the things of God so that you can be a wise mother. Don't wait till you're there to suddenly start trying to play catch up and trying to figure out what God wants you to be. Hey, be wise now and let God prepare your heart now and prepare you now in these days. Hannah was a wise woman, and so she became a wise mother. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at her wisdom and maybe see some lessons this morning on wisdom. Now, this message is for everybody. It's for the ones that don't have children yet, that you could prepare and get wisdom. It's for those that have children, that maybe you could add wisdom to being a mother now. It's for you. It's for the young men here, that maybe you're not even yet, that you can look for these qualities in a woman that you're going to marry, because she's going to be the mother to your children one day. Amen. And so the message is for all of us. It's not just for mothers. And so as we look at Hannah and as we look at her wisdom here and the things that helped her to be a great mother and be a wise mother, first of all, I see some things in verse number 3. Look here in verse 3. It says, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now look down in verse number 21. It says, "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow." I want to say, first of all, what made Hannah wise? She was wise in her wedding. She was wise in her wedding. She married a man who loved the Lord. She married a man by the name of Elkanah. He was an Ephrathite. Now, he was not a perfect man. Matter of fact, the Bible says he married two wives. And that was something that they did in the Old Testament that was kind of socially acceptable in the Old Testament. But listen, just because something's socially acceptable doesn't mean it's acceptable in the eyes of God. And God commanded over in the New Testament that the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Amen? They didn't even have a Bible in these days, and it never pleased God, but it was something that maybe God did somewhat wink at because they didn't have the teaching of the Scriptures. However, he was not a perfect man in that he did marry two wives, and that was never God's plan. It was always God's plan for one man and one woman, amen, to be one flesh, amen? And that was God's plan. And so he was not a perfect man, but he was a godly man. He was a man that loved the Lord. He was a man that sacrificed and went year after year, the Bible says, to go and to give sacrifices. So this man served the Lord with regularity and devotion. Amen? And I want you to know, you young ladies especially, to know something, that being a godly mother, being a wise mother, is first going to start with wisdom in who you marry. Amen? You ought to seek God. You ought to fast and pray. You ought to give yourself wholly over the Lord and make up your mind and make the decision today, if you hadn't already, that you are going to marry a man that is seeking after God. Amen? You're going to marry a man that wants the Lord in his life, that is following the Lord, that is seeking the Lord, that is devoted to the Lord. Amen? That is regular in his devotion to the Lord. Amen? Listen, you ought not to even consider a man, a young boy, that is not regular in attending church somewhere. Amen. You ought not even consider it. You don't even think about it. Amen. Come here and tell you, he might not be regular in that right now, and it may not seem a big deal, but once you get married and you have children, you have a family, it's going to be a big deal then when you're both going two totally different directions. It's going to cause you a lot of problems. And so you'd be very wise to very early settle in your heart who you're going to marry. Maybe not specifically who, but who in your mind that the Lord would send you and give you that you would marry. You need to be very wise in your wedding. Amen. Y'all awake this morning? Y'all with me? I mean, am I telling it right or am I not telling it right? Amen? I'm going to tell you, who you young people marry is going to make or break you spiritually. There will be no middle ground. It'll either be the greatest blessing in your life spiritually or it will be the greatest hindrance in your life spiritually. Amen? Amen? And so you need to seek someone and make up your mind. You're not going to marry someone or even date someone or consider someone that is not regular in their devotion, a man that's not after God's heart. He's not seeking after God. Because listen, a woman can endure almost anything in life if her husband loves the Lord. I'm here to tell you, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be very hard and very difficult to endure if you don't have a man to be the spiritual priest of your home and be the spiritual leader of your home. Amen. I feel sorry for some ladies. We talk all the time about how the man, the husband, is the head of the house and the head of the home and all those things. And that is true biblically. But listen, if you don't have a man that will take the reins spiritually and lead the family spiritually, I tell you, it makes it very, very hard. And I see some young ladies that want to be right. And they want to serve God. And they want to have a family that's serving God. But their husband has no desire and he does not care. Or maybe he's faithful in church, but that's it. He's not enthusiastic about serving God. He's not dove headlong into serving God. He's not committed to serving God. And boy, she would love to have a husband and a family that's devoted to the work of God. But he's just not. He's apathetic and bored with it, you know. And that's going to be really hard to endure one of these days. It's going to be really hard to endure. Hannah was very wise in who she chose to marry. And so it's a wise woman who seeks a husband who loves the Lord. Amen. You need to seek a man and marry a man that is seeking the Lord and devoted to the Lord. You need to seek a man that is devoted in doctrine and in the right doctrine. Amen. If he's not carrying a King James Bible, tell him to go jump in a lake. Amen. If he's not a member of a fundamental Bible-believing church, tell him to jump in the lake. It don't seem like a big deal now, but it's going to make a mess down the road when you got children and you're trying to raise them two different ways with two totally different belief systems. Two totally different doctrines. Amen. I cannot tell you how many young people that I've seen that were going the right way, raised right, going down the right path, and they met somebody, the devil sowed some boyfriend or sowed some girlfriend in their life, and now they're way off track. I can tell you this morning specifically, I won't call their name because you might know them. They don't live around here, but I'm just saying. And I know this is going on the internet and all that. But I know a young couple right now, a young girl who was raised right, raised fundamental, raised to believe the Bible, raised to dress right, raised to do right, sheltered from the world, raised homeschooled, I mean sheltered from the world, raised, you know, with purity and with chasteness and all those things. I mean raised right with a good, good family. And she married, I'd say the wrong guy. She married a guy that everybody tried to convince her and tried to warn her about and tell her about and say, listen, you need to really think about this. You really need to consider this. You really need to rethink this. I mean, leading up to the marriage, you really need to rethink this. But she married him anyways, and within one year of them getting married, this young girl that had been raised right, sheltered from the world, raised in a good family, didn't know anything about the ways of the world. I mean, oblivious to what goes on out in the world. Within 1 year of wearing that boy, she's over on the wrong side of town, knocking on doors of crack houses at midnight looking for her husband who's strung out on drugs. I'm saying who you going to marry, it's going to make or break you. You need to be very careful. You need to be very wise. Hannah was a wise mother in that she was wise, first off, wise in her wedding, and that lays the foundation of all. But she was also wise, not only in her wedding, she was wise in her worship. If you look in verse number 7, look what the Bible says. It says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did eat. So we see in that verse that she was continually provoked over her barrenness, and it caused her to weep and all those things. But the important part is the first part of the verse, is it says, as he went year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord with him. That's what we see. He went year by year. And so when she went to the house of the Lord, in other words, this was a yearly devotion for her as well. Year by year, she went to the Lord. She went to the house of the Lord to worship and to sacrifice and to worship the Lord. And so she did this even in spite of her humiliation and her sorrow with her barrenness. Even though she had this these around her provoking her, and even though she was brokenhearted over her barrenness, even though it was actually the Lord that had closed her womb, she still trusted the Lord and she still worshiped the Lord. She still followed the Lord and she still put all her faith in Him and worshiped Him. I tell you, she was very wise in her worship. Amen? Now, she loved the Lord enough to give Him her burden. Now, I don't know. The Bible says that it was the Lord that closed her womb, but I don't know if she knew that or not. I mean, ultimately, she had to know, I mean, because it is the Lord that takes credit for that. By the way, you'll never find one verse in the Bible where God Himself does not take credit for life. He always takes credit for life. And so the Lord had closed up her womb, but she didn't let that make her angry with God. She didn't let that get her down and out. She didn't let that cause her to quit. In fact, she loved the Lord enough to give Him that burden and trust Him to know that if she needed a son, He would bless her with one. And if she didn't, then His way was best. Amen. You know, that's the place we need to get to. Whenever we have wants and desires, we need to get to the place where we just trust the Lord that if it's what we need and if it's best for us, He will give it to us and He'll bless us with it. And if it's not, then He knows what's best. Amen. I believe that's where Hannah was at, because she worshiped the Lord anyways. And a wise woman will never allow others in their family to live closer to the Lord than she does. That's where Hannah was at. Her husband was going to worship the Lord and going year after year to worship, going to the house of God, faithful to the house of God, faithful to things of God. And she said, well, I'm going to go too. I'm not going to let anybody be more spiritual than me. I'm not going to let the family go on without me. I'm not going to let anybody go beyond me. I'm going to be right there with my family, worshiping with my family. Amen. And so she was wise in her worship. She was wise in her wanting. Look at verse number 9. It says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." She wanted a child. She was wise in wanting children. Now, it's amazing to say that because that seems to be so backwards from our society today. Matter of fact, the Bible, if you go look in the New Testament and look at some of the New Testament epistles dealing with the last days and the end times, you'll see a tendency where in the last days, the society of the last days will lean towards blessing the mothers being blessed that don't have children. The mothers being blessed that have never nursed children and had children and birthed children. And boy, that's right where we are today. Seems like every year I see some article, some major article in mainstream news that talks about how the birth rate has like dropped again. I just saw one just last week, another one, talking about how the birth rate in America is like the lowest it's ever been since, it was like way back in the 70s or something. I mean, it was crazy how low it is. Like they say now, we're not even maintaining our population anymore. Maybe that's why they're wanting to tear the borders down, just let anybody come so we can maintain our population. I don't know. But Americans, Western civilization, is not even maintaining its population with how many children it's having. The average family in America has less than two children. It's like 1.3 child per American family on average. Show me what 0.3 of a child looks like and we'll be getting somewhere. But we've got to average at least two children per family to maintain the population. We're not even maintaining our population. Why? Because we are so self-centered and we are so carnal and people are so wrapped up in themselves and their lifestyle and what they want and all the things they want, the things they want to do, that they would rather devote their life to things than they would to children and to God's will for their life. That is exactly where we are. We're right where the Bible said we would be in the last days, where they are blessing those families and blessing those mothers and saying those ladies that have never had children are greatly blessed, and the age that men and women are getting to where they're having children is getting older and older and older, and the age that women and men and women are, it's the average age where they're getting married is getting older and older and older, and we're pushing it back, and society says push it back, live your life, sow your wild oats, live the American dream. Let me tell you, it's not the American dream, it's the American scheme, man. Going out and getting everything you want and having everything you want and having a big career and devoting your whole life and the best days of your life to some career and some company that doesn't even care about you and would replace you within a week once you're gone. Listen, that is not the American dream. That is the American scheme, friend. Listen, loading up a 401k where you can have a big retirement when the dollar could lose all its value tomorrow and you have nothing, that is not the American dream. That's the American scheme, friend. Amen. I tell you what living the dream is. Living the dream is living for God. Living the dream is getting married, finding the one God wants for you, and marrying and settling down and having children and raising that family for the glory of God and devoting your life to the church and devoting your life to the work of God and getting the gospel out. Amen. Living the dream is taking a King James Bible and saying, by the grace of God, me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. That's living the dream. That's the fulfilled life. That's the best life you can live. That's living your best life now. Amen. It's not about having everything you want. It's about having who can give you all that you need. Amen. That is living the dream. Amen. I tell you, you ought to make up your mind now that you want what God wants. Amen. And it is foreign from the Scriptures, and it is foreign from the mind of God for any young lady or any young man to say, I never want children, and I don't want a family, and I want to do my own thing, and I want to have my big career, and I want to be able to buy all the things I want to buy and go on things I want to go on and not be hindered and sidetracked by little kids. That is scriptures. That is not natural affections. Amen. You look to the Word of God, and based on the Word of God, the more children you have, the more blessed you are. Amen. God always talked about having children as being a blessing. It talked about having children as being a heritage of God, being blessed of God that we would have children, being blessed of God that you could be a mother. Now I'm here to tell you there is no higher calling and there is no greater calling. There is nothing better for you, young ladies, than to get with God and find the man that God wants you to be with and devote yourself to that man and devote yourself to that home and devote yourself to your children and to the work of God and bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's nothing better for you than that. Nothing will fulfill you more than that will. Nothing will. Oh, we're living in a society where all the professors in the universities are telling you what you need to be happy is to get a big career and get your education, you know, and be some big-time career woman or be a politician or have your face on the news or your face in the paper or you need to be beautiful or you need to be this or the other. Listen, what you need is get you a Bible and find out what God wants you to be, and nothing will make you happier in life than being what God wants you to be. Amen. Amen, praise God. And you talk to any lady that's ever done that, and you'll find out that is the truth. That is the truth. I'm not saying it's easy. Matter of fact, whenever we're living in a society that so promotes career women and so promotes all these things, I mean, they look down and make you feel inferior. Watch out chasing the American scheme. Amen, that's right. That make you feel in fear. Listen to me. It's going to take courage. It's going to take backbone. It's going to take grit. But there is nothing more heroic or courageous you can do than to sell out and serve God in raising your family and raising your children for the glory of God. Amen. Hey, she was wise in her wanting. Amen. Now, you may want a lot of things. But I'm here to tell you, a fancy car is going to be gone one day. It might be brand new today, But it's used and rusted out tomorrow. Amen? And you might like fancy clothes and a closet full of shoes, fancy shoes today. I'm here to tell you, somebody else is going to be wearing them tomorrow. Amen? And beauty and all those things. And favor, the Bible says, that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Amen? That's what the world is chasing out after, and that's what carnal, ungodly women are chasing after. And all those things will be here today and gone tomorrow. But that's what people want. You may want some of those things, but I'm here to tell you, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, and if you'll want the things that He wants, and if you'll desire the things that He desires, He will give you the desires of your heart, and nothing will fulfill you more than one of the things for you that God wants. Amen. She prayed before the Lord for a man-child, and she considered her barrenness an affliction, not a blessing. She wasn't praising the Lord, "Oh, praise the Lord, I'm not pregnant. Praise the Lord, I'm not pregnant. Hallelujah. I was so worried I was going to be pregnant." How many women say that in this day and age? I mean, and by the way, whenever I talk about having children, I think you ought to have as many as you can have. And I'm not talking about the ones that can't have more than what they have. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that choose to not have more than they can have. And by the way, we can't afford it is not a reason. That's an excuse. It's not a reason. There's not one verse in the Bible to support the idea of not having children until you can support them, until you can afford to have them. Because I'm here to tell you, you run the dollars and the cents, you run it all, add it up, you'll never be able to afford it. That's right. Brother Ernest figured it all out. He really blessed me when he's telling me all the diapers that they say the average child has in his lifetime. It's like over 7,000 diapers in a child's life. It really blessed my soul, you know, it encouraged me. I got three of them back there, you know. Amen. But you will not find one verse of Scripture that talks about waiting until you can afford it. There, every single verse talks about it being a blessing from God. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what's going to happen to some of you. You young ladies, you're going to want the things of the world all your life, and you're going to give up all the best of your life to getting the things of the world that you want. And then you're going to get older, and you're not going to have anybody take care of you and your husband. They're going to stick you in some nursing home somewhere where people don't care about you, and they're not going to take care of you. Is that right or is that right? That is right. Won't nobody ever care about you and take care of you like your children. Amen. I'll tell you what my retirement plan is. The name of my retirement plan is Gideon, Judah, Noah. That's my retirement plan. Amen. Amen. By the way, that is God's way. That is God's design. That is God's plan. Amen. We've raised up a generation that's so selfish and only cares about themselves so much that they'd rather put their parents off on somebody else to take care and let somebody else fool them because they don't care about to take care of their own parents, man. Wicked as the devil. Amen. I'm saying whenever you want the things that God wants, nothing will bless you more and you'll never get the desires of your heart more than when you want what God wants. You know, if you want the things of the world, you'll never catch it. If you want more money, there's always more money out there. If you want more things, there's always more things out there. You'll never be fulfilled. But if you desire what God desires, He will fill and meet every want and need in your life. Amen. I tell you, one of the greatest tragedies of life is for a child to be born into a house unwanted and unloved. That is one of the greatest tragedies in the entire world. Amen. I tell you, God always takes credit for life, and God never gave a reason not to have children. He said it's always a blessing, and so we ought to have as many as we can and as many as God will give us. Amen? I believe that's right. I'm not necessarily totally against. I'm not one of these preachers that's like so far out there that they're, you know, against contraception and all that stuff. But I'm here to tell you, we ought to follow the Lord and go on the leadership of the Lord, and we ought to look at having children as a blessing, not a curse. Amen. She was wise in her wanting. Y'all still with me this morning? I'm almost done, I promise. Number four, she was wise in her work. I've already talked about this a little bit, but if you look in verse 21, look at what it says. It says, "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah and her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth good to thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, until only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him." Now this is a picture of the most tender and devoted attention that a mother can give her child. She is staying home and foregoing something that may actually be pleasurable and may be enjoyable that she may take care of her newborn son. Amen? That is a sacrifice. That is a work. Amen? And she didn't leave him to maids or relatives or leave him with somebody else so that she could leave home and earn money and have a good time and do all the things that she wanted. She didn't leave him to daycare, and she didn't leave him to grandma, and she didn't leave him to, you know, some babysitter. No, she said, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to take care of him until he is weaned. Amen. And I want you to know that she was very wise in this. This was a work that she devoted herself to. How many of you that have been mothers would say that being a mother is work? Just by show of hands. And you can actually raise your hand. That's okay. So about three of y'all think it's work. All right? I'm going to remember that next time I hear you moaning and groaning about, you know, what all your kids have been doing, what's been going on in your family. Listen, being a mother is work. Delivering children are work. That's one reason they call it labor. Ain't that right? Delivering them is work, carrying them is work, and then raising them is work. Listen, it is work, amen? And I'm telling you, we are in a society of women that have been raised and deceived into foregoing that work and foregoing that commitment and leaving them at daycare and leaving them to the public school to raise and leaving them to society to raise, that they may go out and have their career and do all the things that they want to do, that they can earn more money or whatever the excuse is, that they would sacrifice the work of raising their children for another work over here. It's so funny how all the feminists and all those things talk about how sexist it is for a woman to be at home and be under the authority of her husband when she'll leave her home, leave her husband, leave her children who she loves and care and they care for her, and then go to and be under the authority of her boss at work. Listen to me, you always under somebody's authority. You may as well be under God's authority. Amen.
You may as well just do what's going to fulfill you in life. You may as well just do what would be wise in the eyes of God. Amen? Because you're always going to be serving somebody. And we're all going to be working for somebody and be under somebody's love. We're all going to be that. Not just women, all of us. Amen? But you may as well just devote yourself to the Lord and do what would be wise in the eyes of God. Amen? You may as well just sell out and do the good work. Amen? You may as well just sell out and do the work that will have a 100% return when you're investment. Amen? You may as well just do that. Amen? Because whatever you earn on a job, that money's going to come and that money's going to go. And the things you buy, they'll come and they will go. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, you could never replace with all the money in the world the time and the memories that you'll spend with your children and all the devotion and all the things that you'll be able to get and glean from your home and your family. You'll never in a million years with the whole world be able to replace all those things. Amen? And so she was wise in her work. I tell you, young mothers that are staying home and raising your children and doing what you can to raise your children, I want you to know something. You're doing something very wise. You're being very wise with these years. Because they're going to come and they're going to go really quick. Them babies are only going to be small once. And I hope you young girls that ain't got children yet, I hope you're listening. Those babies are going to be young once. And those 18, 19, 20 years that they spend with you and spend in your home to when they're out on their own, they're going to come and they're going to go really quick. Listen, my boys are small now, and I cannot even believe how fast the time is going by. I was looking at pictures on my phone the other day, and I was looking at this slideshow of Gideon. Whenever we had just moved here, y'all realize July will be 3 years I've been your pastor. And we had just moved here. And Gideon, boy, he was so tiny. And Jude was just barely crawling around, you know, and Gideon was so small. And I had this slideshow on my phone from back in those days. And I couldn't even believe how small Gideon was, how small Judah was, and how fast the time is going by. And I'm so thankful my wife is at home with our children. And I'm so thankful that she's devoted her life. And I'm not like harping on this, and I'm not swatting anybody over the head that if you do work and if you have to work, I understand that. I really do. I know some have to. Some could sacrifice some of the things that they have to not have to. But you'd rather have all the stuff than have the time with your children. And that's between you and God, whatever. But I'm just simply saying that I'm so thankful I have a wife whose heart is for our home. And her heart is towards our children. She worked for maybe, I don't know, how long did you work for Brother Ron before he passed away? My wife worked for Brother Ron Aldridge. Can y'all believe that? Before Brother Ron passed away, my wife worked for him for a month. And I want you to know it was the most miserable month of our lives. Not because of Brother Ron. Because we were getting up in the morning, she was leaving out like before me and then getting home late every night and all these things. I mean, we knew right then. We never wanted her to work, but boy, that just solidified it even more. We were thinking, man, we want you at home. And I'm so thankful for that because it's not always been easy. And we may not have always had what we wanted, but we've had most of what we wanted. The Lord's blessed us, been good to us. But we may not have a lot of the things that other people have. We don't drive new cars, we drive old cars. I mean, we've never owned a house of our own. There's a lot of things that we don't have that we sacrifice for that. But I want you to know there's nothing that's been more fulfilling in our life, nothing that's been better than having my wife doing the work that God has called her to do. Amen. The Bible says the ladies are the keeper of the home. That is your first and highest calling, is to keep the home and raise your children. Amen. She was wise in her work. And then last of all, she was wise in her witness. Look in verse 24. It says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh when the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there.
She was very wise in everything that she did. But the most wise area that she had in her life was in her witness. Because she brought her child, this child that the Lord had blessed her with, she brought him to the Lord just as soon as it was practical. She released him and gave him to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. Nowadays, a lot of mothers are keeping their children away from the house of God for too long. And then whenever they are having them in church, they're keeping them away from it too often. But Hannah was not that way. As soon as she had the first opportunity, she took him and gave him wholly to the Lord and said, Lord, he's yours. And she kept him in the house of God. See, she wasn't afraid that he was too young to understand. She wasn't afraid that he was too young to get it. She wasn't worried about all that. She just said, the Lord gave me this boy, so I'm going to give him back to the Lord. And that little boy that she was so wise in raising was a young man by the name of Samuel, who, if you study out the rest of his life, there's two books in the Bible written named after him. He wound up being the last and greatest judge in Israel. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better judge in Israel than the man Samuel. God used him in a mighty way. But you know where it all started? It started with the wisdom of his mother. And the wisdom of his mother affected the witness of his mother. The old saying is that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I want you mothers to know something, young and old. No one, I believe, will have a greater effect in terms of witness on your children than you will. You're going to affect them one way or the other, either for the Lord or against the Lord, more than anybody else. And by the way, it's not just in what you say to them. It's how you live before them. They see your dedication to the Lord, or they see your lack of dedication to the Lord. They see your prayer life, or they see your lack of a prayer life. They see your studying of the Scriptures and your reading and your devotion to the Scriptures, or they see your lack thereof. They see the priority that you put on the work of God and the things of God and your Christian life, or they see the lack thereof. They see it all. They see it all. And Hannah's great wisdom gave way to a great witness. It was the fact that his mother gave him to the Lord is the reason that he even wound up there, because his mother took him and gave him. I'm closing. Sister Wilson, you can come to the piano and begin. We're going to have a time of invitation here in a second, but I want to give you this in a closing. I heard a story years ago about, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, if I'm not mistaken. Charles Spurgeon was busy preaching and with ministry and all these things, and he was traveling a lot, preaching and being gone a lot. And there was a time in his life whenever he was leaving the house one morning, early one morning, he was leaving the house. And he's going to preach. I can't remember where he was going to preach. It was a long ways away, though. He's going to have to travel to get there. But he was leaving the house, and he was walking down the street to go catch a train. And as he was walking, he got so burdened in his heart about being gone from his family and being gone from his children. They were young. They were small. And he was walking down the street. The Lord smote his heart, and he got so burdened that he actually stopped, and he turned around and went back. He decided just to not even go preach the meeting. He was going to stay home with his family. He made his way back down that cobblestone street, and he got back down to his house. And he slipped in the front door of his house, and when he slipped in, his family didn't hear him come in. They didn't even know he was there. And he just stepped inside the door, and he stood there for a second as he closed the door behind him. And in the other room, he could hear his wife praying with his children. And she was singing songs, Bible songs, with his children. And could hear his wife teaching his children the Bible. And they were learning scriptures and learning Bible lessons, all that. He just stood there for a little while and he just listened. They didn't know he was there. And as she sang Bible songs and as she prayed with those children, taught those children, the Lord settled in his heart. He said, your family is going to be just fine because they have a good mother. And he knew that everything was riding on their mother. So he turned, he walked out the door, and he went in to preach that meeting, knowing that his children were going to be just fine because they had a godly mother. Listen, the hand that rocks a cradle truly does rule the world. No other person in the world will have a greater influence or impact on our society than a godly mother. And I wonder this morning, have you been the wise mother that God wants you to be? I wonder if you young ladies are preparing yourself to be the wise mother that God wants you to be. Hannah was certainly an example of a wise mother. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray, give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. I don't know what the Lord's done in your heart, but you may want to come pray, may want to do business with God this morning. We're going to pray and give you an opportunity to respond. Lord, I thank you for this day and your blessings. Thank you for helping us with the Word. I pray that you'll take it and use it and bless us. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. With our heads